All right, well, let's go. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 20. We're going to be in verse 13. As y'all know, we've been going through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to continue to go through those. And so here we go, as we do every week. Let's recite all of these together. All right, let's see how good we are with our memory. Here we go. Ready? Number one. And joy to the world. Da, da, da. I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. And number 10. Amen. Amen. So here we are in our study, the sixth commandment, four words. You shall not murder. In Exodus 20, verse 13, depending on your Bible translation, it may just say, do not murder. Three words, and then you're into the next one. So as we dive into this, it's important for you and I to understand that this sixth commandment, as we dive into it today, is about dignity. And it is about valuing the protection and the sanctity of human life at every stage of development, from the conception to natural death. In this very commandment, this sixth commandment, we see that God condemns the deliberate, the malicious, and the unlawful taking of a human life. Thou shalt not murder. Why? Because there's many different creations, right? There's animal, there's the animal kingdom, the animals, right, is God created. And then there's plant life that God created. But there's a certain creation that God would create and say, make man in my image or in our image. And so what that shows is that human life is sacred. Because it would be human life that God would choose to be made in his image, as we see in Genesis 1, 27. Thou shalt not murder. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And as we dive into your word, we ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would lead us, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that your Holy Spirit would direct us in your truth. We are ready to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So here we are, this sixth commandment. As we've talked about, the first four being vertical, our relationship with God, right? The first four is vertical, our relationship with God. And then the last six here is our relationship with each other, human to human. Now, when we abide by these commandments, the moral code of God, it's all God-honoring. Amen. So last week we looked at honor thy father and thy mother, which is one of the best commandments, if not the best commandment for all the parents in the house. Can I get an amen? But this week is one of the best commandments for us adults. Can I get an amen? So there are many questions when it comes to thou shalt not honor, especially living here in our culture today, because we see that living here in our culture, you have deaths that happen all the time that aren't natural deaths in our eyes. So questions would arise as they have arrived. What about when it comes to military? What about when it comes to police that are acting in their official line of duty where their lives may be at stake and they have to utilize deadly force in taking a life? What happens if you're driving an automobile down the highway and you end up accidentally causing the death of somebody else's life? Or what happens if an accidental drowning takes place? Is it in violation of this sixth commandment? What about if we're at home and you know, God forbid, but a robber breaks into our house and tries to rob the house and you are fearing for your life? Are you justified in the eyes of the Lord to take a life? Or if you have somebody creeping right here in our city that puts you in a position where you're in fear of your life, not only you and your family? Are you justified in the eyes of God of taking somebody else's life? Or are all of these acts in violation of this sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder? And then there's questions like, well, if God was a just and holy God and he is to tell us we shouldn't murder, then what about all the times in the Bible when he killed people? See, all these kind of questions arise when it comes to an easy, simple, yet very at times complex, when we don't understand this sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. And so here we're going to unpack this a little bit to try to help bring some clarity when it comes to this sixth commandment. And so for us to recognize this and to understand the truth behind thou shalt not murder, first we need to make a distinction between murder and killing, because they're two totally different things here. They're two totally different acts. They're two totally different words. And as a matter of fact, depending on translation, most Bibles will say thou shalt not murder. But some of your translations say thou shalt not kill. Now, the English kind of doesn't really give the full picture, as we've seen as being students of the word, of our English words not giving the actual meaning or the root word of the original language that we see in our Bible. And so here, thou shalt not murder, to make the distinction between murdering and killing, okay, the word killing in Hebrew is nakah. And nakah is the act of taking a life. Murder, however, is ratsak. And in Hebrew, when we look at this command, Hebrew, it's only two words. It's lo ratsak, which means no murder. So you have nakah, which is killing, the act of taking life, and you have murder, which is ratsak, lo ratsak, which means no murder. And the definition of that is the unlawful, malicious, intentional killing of another individual. And so for us to recognize what God is saying here, thou shalt not ratsak or lo ratsak, he's not necessarily talking about the taking of a life. Just stick with me. But he is talking about the unlawful, malicious, intentional taking of life. And so for us to dissect a little bit more, what is permissible then? When it comes to this sixth commandment, if we talk about, you know, killing and murdering, or we talk about lo matzak or lo ratzak and nakah, what is permissible here? Because I don't know about you, but I have a lot of law enforcement friends who have, by not their choice, they were put in positions where they had to take a life. We have many military families here who have gone through those things. Some of you have been in accidents, in car accidents. Some of you have seen things and maybe have carried some of this stuff. And I hope that through the grace of God, we can get clarity here. But the Bible speaks about what is justified and what is permitted when it comes to this sixth commandment. And so I'm going to go through these four just to help us as a church to understand, not that we want permission, okay, to go be, to do this. But it is for us to understand, as we always want to turn to Scripture to get the answers directly from Scripture with all areas of life. Amen? So here we go. What is permitted or what is justified when it comes to the killing or the murdering, and how do we know the difference? Very first thing that we see here is that there is a justification before the eyes of the Lord when somebody loses their life accidentally. All right, we're looking at justification, and we see that answer in Numbers 35, 9 through 12. And it says this, you can just follow along there on the screens. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, verse 11, designate cities to serve as cities of refuge for you, so that a person who kills someone unintentionally may flee there. Verse 12, you will have the cities as a refuge from the avenger, so that the one who kills someone will not die until he stands trial before the assembly. So you see here, there's accidental deaths that took place back in the day. And it would be the same thing for our system, how it's set up today. When accidental deaths happen, we don't automatically go to giving capital punishment. And so we pull that kind of principle from Scripture, showing that when accidental deaths do take place, where it's not done intentionally or maliciously or unlawfully, God has designated, just like our government today has designated, a safe zone, so to speak, until trial is to come. And so if accidental deaths take place in the eyes of the Lord, he doesn't see that as violation of this sixth commandment. If you go down a little bit more, Numbers 35, verses 22 through 25, it says this: "But if anyone suddenly pushes a person without hostility, or throws any object at him without malicious intent, or without looking, drops a stone that could kill a person and he dies." Not sure how that would happen, right? But maybe they were building a building and like accidentally nudged somebody or like threw a stone and it said, "Oops, sorry," you know. But it was out without malicious intent or didn't intend to harm them. Then the assembly is to judge between the person who kills someone and the avenger of blood according to those ordinances. Verse 25, the assembly is to protect the one who kills someone from the avenger of blood. And then the assembly will return to him to the city of refuge he fled to, and he must live there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. And so there you go. One of the very first justifiables when it comes to this sixth commandment is accidental death. So if there's accidents that take place, then you're not in violation of this sixth commandment. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. What else? This is for law enforcement. This is going to be for military. This is going to be those in our homes who may have been or have been put in a position where you have to defend yourself. God gives the answer very clearly in his scripture in Exodus 22, verse 2. It says this: "If a thief is caught in the act of breaking in and he is beaten to death, no one is guilty of bloodshed." So there is your principle that life, your life, the life of your family, if you're put in a position where you're in fear of death, then according to the Bible in this sixth commandment, life can be protected from immediate threat. Also, Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, which was in our study, this is a passage of Scripture here that also speaks to self-defense when it comes to those of us that are in military or those of us that are police officers that may have to take a life, and it's how we are justified in the killing, not the murdering, but the killing of an individual. Romans 13, 3 through 4, it says this: "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have its approval." Verse 4, "For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For it is God's servant, an avenger, that brings wrath on the one who does wrong." So when it comes to this sixth commandment, now that we understand murder and we understand killing, God has made some justifications when it comes to the taking of someone's life without the unlawful, malicious, intentional act. And that is when accidental deaths take place, you're not in violation of this sixth commandment. When you're military personnel or you are police and you get put in a position where you have to take somebody else's life, you are not in violation of this sixth commandment, as long as it's within the code. Amen? And so, what about capital punishment? What about, you know, those who have taken the life of somebody and now they're on death row and the government comes and has to, you know, they're on the death penalty? Well, what about then? Is our government going against the Bible because we're violating this sixth commandment, "You shall not murder"? I'm glad you asked, because the Bible speaks about it. See, these things are so important, because if you're not careful, then these kind of things is what causes all kinds of uproar within not only the church, but even in community. And so here we go, capital punishment, right? So Genesis 9, verses 5 through 6, God speaks about this. Verse 5 says this, I will require a penalty for your lifeblood. I will require it from any animal and from any human. If someone murders a fellow human, the word is murder. Ratzak, lo ratzak, it's not nakah. If someone murders a fellow human, I will require that person's life. Verse 6, whoever sheds human blood, by humans his blood will be shed. Why? For God made humans in his image. So here's what this means. This is what justifies like our government, is if you murder somebody, then you get murdered back. That's just principle, all right? Again, we can go back to Numbers 35. Just follow along. Numbers 35, 16 through 21. If anyone strikes a person with an iron object and death results, he is a murderer. The murderer must be put to death. Verse 17, it continues. If he has a stone that's capable of causing death and he strikes another person and he dies, then the murderer must be put to death. If he has a hand, a wooden object capable of causing death, and he strikes another person and he dies, then the murderer must be put to death. The avenger of blood himself is to kill the murderer. When he finds him, he is to kill him. Likewise, if anyone in hatred pushes a person or throws an object at him with malicious intent and he dies, or if in hostility he strikes him with his hand and he dies, then the one who struck him must be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood is to kill the murderer when he finds him. So what does that mean? It means that we're justified when it comes to capital murder. So the government, all of those things, when it comes to capital offenses, if you murder somebody, you get murdered back. It's not in violation of the Sixth Commandment. Jesus would even speak to that in Matthew 26, 52. He says this, Jesus told him, put your sword back in its place. This is just before he's about to be taken. And Peter does what he does with a sword. Then Jesus told him, put your sword back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Again, it's just another principle in New Testament. If you murder somebody, you get murdered back. So, and then of course war, right? We saw what took place last night with our country, you know, bombing Iran, right? Lots of questions about that. We don't know if, you know, at least this morning, I wasn't aware if any life was taken. But our country's been to war, World War I, World War II, Korean War, all these wars. You go back World War I, you know, even before then, right? Is our country in violation of this sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, because of war that takes place here in America? Right? These are all questions that we have. And the Bible speaks about it in Ecclesiastes 3:8. Solomon would say this. He says, there is a time to love, and there's a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Samuel 17 talks about David when he killed Goliath. Joshua, on the conquest of Canaan, he carried out under God's direct command for judgment on those people. And so I share all these things with you for what reason? Because we, as we're learning truth in Scripture, again, I don't want anybody to leave here empowered to go justify killings. That's not why we're doing this. But I'm teaching you so that you understand the heart of the Creator who put this in the very moral code way back then, that's still intact today, that'll continue to be intact for the generations to come and all the way to eternity. Why? Because heaven and earth will pass away. Listen to me. Heaven and earth will pass away. Everything that you know will be consumed, but the Word of God will stand forever. This moral code does not change. And so we have to understand the truth. And when you have people who are saying, you Christians are this, that, the other, When it comes to, you know, word of scripture, it's important for us to know the truth so that way we understand where the boundaries are and where life is and where death is and what the Lord says about it, so that way we're aware of truth. So thou shalt not murder isn't thou shalt not kill. Okay, the Bible strictly justifies acts of taking a life where it's not in violation, and that's accidental deaths, that's justifiable killings of self-defense, both personal and within military and law enforcement, capital punishment, that's with our government, and fourthly, when it comes to war, as long as the intent of the heart is correct. Now, here's what we have to recognize as we continue. The difference between a just war and an unjust violence is when it comes to truth of Scripture. In other words, a country can't just go around being a bully just because of their own personal national interest or vengeance. So there are stipulations here. If you have bad police officers who act out and they take a life, and it's not within the scope of Nakah, but it's Lo Ratzach, then that person has to face the government and get whatever punishment they have to get. Okay? So I'm not, please understand, I'm not saying it's okay for them to do whatever they want, or military, or people, just because the word says, right? So all other taking of human life outside of accidental, outside of justifiable self-defense, outside of capital punishment, outside of war, all other taking of human life is considered murder, according to Scripture. And it is a violation of the Sixth Commandment, which means what? If you intentionally, unlawfully, maliciously take the life of another individual, then you are in violation of this Sixth Commandment. So murder is violating this Sixth Commandment. Euthanasia is violating this Sixth Commandment. Abortion is violating this Sixth Commandment. Even though the government may say it's okay, in the eyes of the Lord, God says it's murder. And all the other forms of homicide. Why? Because in Proverbs 6, 16 through 17, it says that God, your Creator, hates hands that shed innocent blood. And that's the truth in His Word. Now, if you have taken a life and you've been to prison, if you've been here on the earth and you've had to have an abortion for whatever reason, God's grace is still sufficient. Okay? And He can heal your broken heart, and He can cleanse your sins as far as the east is from the west, because God is a good God. Amen? But here's the truth as we continue. Every single one of us at some point has been in violation of this Sixth Commandment. And you may ask the question, well, how? I've never taken another man's life or another woman's life. Well, you got to remember that when it comes to this Sixth Commandment, we talked about Old Testament and Old Testament Scripture. We also, at the very beginning, talked about what Jesus had to say about these things. And so what we recognize today is that we all, at some point, have been guilty of breaking this commandment. Why? Because in the eyes of our Lord, murder is not just a physical act of taking somebody else's life. Jesus would say that He has elevated it in Matthew 5, 21 through 22. And He says this, "You have heard that it was said to our ancestors, 'Do not murder.'" Lo Ratzach. "And whoever murders will be subject to judgment." Verse 22. "But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or his sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be subject to hell fire." So what is he trying to say? Is that you do not have to take a life to break this Sixth Commandment. You just have to devalue one. It's not just the physical act of taking a life, but it's the condition of a corrupt heart that's full of hate, that's full of bitterness, that's full of rage, that's full of unrighteous anger. It's a condition of a heart that leads to online abuse, that leads to hate and racism all over this country. All of these things, bitterness and jealousy, pride, any of those are seeds of murder in the eyes of Jesus because it flows from a corrupt heart. And so the simplicity of it is this. The Bible does speak about killing and murdering, Old Testament, and I hope you know the difference. But Jesus elevates it, and he says, forget about physically taking the life of somebody. If you even have hate in your heart towards your fellow and brother, towards your fellow brother and sister, you've already committed murder. It's the thoughts of wishing somebody dead. It's the murderous tongue where we speak death upon people. That Jesus says, you may have never taken a life, you may have never even spoken it, but I see your heart, and it's full of hate, and it's full of bitter. And that, in the eyes of our Lord, is murder. He would tell us in 1 John 3, anyone who hates his brother and his sister is a murderer. So when we sit here and we say, all of us, myself included, are guilty of breaking this sixth commandment. Yeah, maybe I've never taken blood physically, but I've had a murderous heart before. So how do we respond? This sixth commandment isn't just about avoiding crime. This sixth commandment is us taking responsibility and recognizing the condition of our own hearts and understanding that we are to cherish life and to choose love and to walk in forgiveness and reconciliation with our fellow brothers and sisters, to not have roots of bitterness, to not have hate in our heart. Because that's what the Lord has commanded us to do. Jesus even modeled it when he was on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they not know what they do. So there you go, the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. What's the Holy Spirit saying to your heart today? Is there anything in us that we need God to cleanse us from? If there isn't, then praise the Lord. If there is, don't walk out of the worship center a murderer in the eyes of the Lord. Walk out cleansed so you can be free. Amen? Amen. Would you please stand? Thou shalt not murder. Psalm 119:11 says this, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach us your statutes. With our lips we will proclaim all the judgments from your mouth, and we rejoice in the way you have revealed this by your decrees. And so, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are your church, and we love you so much, and we thank you God, and I pray that our hearts would be cleansed today. Also pray in the name of Jesus that we would be people who hide your word in the depths of our hearts, that we may not sin against you, Father. Lead us to turn our cursing to blessing. Lead us to cherish and love and value life the way that you cherish, love, and value life, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your truth. God, if there's anybody here who has never given their life to you, I pray that today would be their day. They would see their desperate need for a Savior, O Lord. I thank you that you cleanse us from our sins and that you bless us with the privilege and honor to be sons and daughters. So lead us today, as your word tells us, that if we're quick to repent and to ask for forgiveness, then you are holy and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I pray that that be the reality for us today. We thank you for your word. We love you and we bless you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen.